24, 25, and verse 26. Luke 11, verse 24, 25, and 26. The Bible says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none. He said, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Amen. Could I focus our attention today on this thought? Occupy, no vacancy. Occupy, no vacancy. Lord Jesus, we ask you, God, Lord, to anoint your messenger as you have anointed your word. Enable us, O God, to walk as you would have us to walk. God, to live as you would have us to live, and to work as you would have us to work. We give you all the praise and all the glory and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you, and you may be saved. Before we get into our message, I want to just have you to look at the context from which we draw these verses of Scripture. Jesus had just completed the casting out of an unclean spirit out of an individual who was dumb. And they began to speak within themselves, and they said that he casteth out the devil by the prince of devils. And the Bible says that Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan is divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Then going further down, he spoke of a strong man that keeps his house. And he said that before someone can go in and take the goods of a strong man, he must first be able to overcome him. He must first overpower him, and then he can divide the souls. And then he said in verse 23, he that is not with me is against me. You're either for the Lord or you're against the Lord. There is no middle ground.
All right.
There's no such thing as remaining neutral when it comes to the things of the kingdom of God. That he is that is not with me is against me. He that is not with me, amen, or he that doesn't gather, amen, scattereth. And so it's very important that we commit ourselves wholly unto the Lord. And then at the conclusion of these events and these teachings of Jesus, he talks about a man in whom there was an unclean spirit. And that after that unclean spirit had departed from the man, that unclean spirit went seeking for rest, and it found none. And so he said unto himself, I will return unto my house from whence I came out. The only way that Satan can get an advantage upon you once that you have been delivered. And I thank God today that I have been delivered of everything that is unclean, of everything that is contrary to the mind and the will and the purpose of God. God has delivered me. You don't have to be an alcoholic or a drug addict to know the power of deliverance. Amen. When I sing that song, I've been delivered. I want you to know God delivered me from things that had me bound. I was a captive of sin. I was tormented in my soul. Amen. Until Jesus Christ came and set me free. And I don't want Satan to get an advantage in my life. Amen. And I'm telling you, the only way that you, amen, can prevent Satan from trying to enter into your life, amen, is to occupy yourself in the things of the kingdom of heaven. You hang a sign on your door, amen, that says occupied. Amen, no vacancy. Amen. It has been said that an idle mind is the devil's workshop. I don't know who invented that saying, but my grandmother sure used it like she did. I want you to know that a void in your heart, a void in your commitment, a void in your love for the things of God, amen, is an invitation to the devil. Amen. To come back into your life and to occupy territory that he once, amen, felt comfortable in. Amen. I don't believe that the only people that this applies to are those that were demon possessed. You don't have to be a demon possessed individual for the devil to come along and to re-enter into your house and to bring seven others with him, and the latter state of that man to be worse than the beginning. I want you to know there's nothing that's any more tragic than to see someone who was once delivered, who once knew what it meant to be a born again child of God, that once they have returned back to the former life and to the former lifestyle, amen, then a tragedy it is. That person becomes more sinful, more wicked, amen, than they ever were, amen, in the beginning. Oh, we need to hang that sign upon the door of our heart that says, occupied, no vacancy. Amen. Houses are built to be occupied. People don't build houses for them to remain vacant. If a house remains vacant for any length of time, it doesn't matter how well built that it is. It doesn't matter how fine the builder or the architecture. It doesn't matter how well designed or the quality of the materials that went into that house. If a house remains vacant for any length of time, it begins to deteriorate. It begins to invite vandalism. I want you to know, amen, I don't want to invite spiritual vandalism in my life. Devil, amen, what God has given me, amen, I didn't find it in the world. Amen, I didn't find it by my own power, but what I have, amen, God freely gave me out of his love and out of his mercy and out of his grace. Amen. The devil didn't give it, and the devil can't take it away. Amen. If you allow the Spirit of God, amen, to dwell in your heart in abundance, peace, and joy. Man was created in the image of God. Amen. To glorify God. Amen. You were not made to be an empty suit. Amen. Some politicians, that's all they are. They're just an empty suit. There's no substance. Just a facade. Amen. They give the appearance. amen, of being smart, or they give the appearance of being, amen, an astute individual. God did not make you, amen, to look good on the outside, but God came to fill your heart with the peace and the joy, amen, and the satisfaction of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. God made you to glorify Him. Amen. Our works should glorify God. Just as faith without works is dead, good intentions without diligent effort leads to idle preoccupation. I begin to study those two words, occupation and preoccupation. Amen. Houses are made to be occupied. Amen. The soul that was empty, amen, was a soul that was vulnerable to the reentry of the unclean spirits. A reentry into a way of life, amen, from which he was once set free. Amen. God, amen, wants us, amen, to have an occupation. Amen. If I were to ask you, amen, in the kingdom of God, what your occupation was, amen, I wonder how quickly that you could tell me what your occupation was. Because if you are called to the kingdom of God, God did not call you to be idle. God did not call you to sit on a pew, amen, and to occupy space. Oh no. Amen. But you were called, amen, with a purpose. You were called, amen, with a responsibility to a lost world. He said, occupy until I come. We're not supposed to just be sitting around waiting for something to happen. God help us, amen, if we're not involved in making things happen for the kingdom of heaven. He said, go ye into all the world, teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. We're to go, but we have a commission. Amen. We have a commandment from the Lord. Like Sister Eastridge said, do you have a calling? Yes, I have a calling. And my calling is to reach a lost world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Occupied. No vacancy. I don't have time, amen, to dibble dabble out. I don't have time for the devil and his fun and games. I'm occupied in the work of God. Thank God for men that are occupied, amen, in the things of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Amen. And then on the other hand, preoccupation. You know, they both come from the same root word. An occupation is someone that's occupied in the task at hand. Amen. We have a task before us. But to be preoccupied is to be so, amen, to allow one's mind and one's thoughts to be so thoroughly engrossed, amen, that we become distracted from the matters that are at hand. Amen. To be preoccupied is to be unaware, amen, of opportunities that are all around us. Amen. Of the beautiful, amen, opportunities that are under our feet. Amen. To be preoccupied. To be preoccupied is to have your head in the clouds. To have your mind to be unfocused. Amen. But when you're occupied, when you've got an occupation, amen, you have focus and you have direction. Amen. Your mind doesn't wander from this and that and something else. Amen. You recognize that there's a task at hand. Amen. If the devil can cause the church to be preoccupied, amen, with the cares of life, to be preoccupied, amen, with problems, to be preoccupied, amen, with the nuances of this world, amen, then how will we perform our duties as the children of God? It's dangerous to have an occupation and to be preoccupied. To be operating a piece of machinery and to not be paying attention of your surroundings. One of the things that you're taught, and when you work in an industrial environment, is be aware of your surroundings. How true that is of the Christian walk. We need to be aware of our surroundings. We don't need, amen, to be preoccupied with the things of the world, that we don't see the danger, that we don't see the entrapment, that we don't see, amen, the snares that the devil will put in our path, because the devil would like to destroy us. He would like to reclaim the same territory that he once occupied. But oh, thank God, when we've got our mind and our heart on the things of God, we're occupying, amen, a place that the devil cannot touch us. When we're focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Christian occupation and duty is to lead others to Jesus Christ by actively being involved in the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto you. Because to do otherwise is to be preoccupied. It's easy to get preoccupied with responsibility, to be preoccupied with troubles, to be preoccupied with the cares of this life. Amen. To become distracted so that we lose our focus. Amen. On the real purpose for our living. Amen. Our life is to be a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're not lifting up Jesus, then what in the world are we here for? We're here to give glory and honor to God. It's not about us. It's all about Him. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. Preoccupation. Amen. Is to be without focus and to be without clear direction. But when you've got an occupation, amen, you know what you're supposed to be doing. Hallelujah. When you've got an occupation, you know the responsibilities. You know the demands. Amen. And when you're focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, you don't have time, amen, to pay attention to what the devil is doing, to what this one's doing, or what somebody else is doing, amen, because you're so, amen, involved and so given, amen, to the cause of Jesus Christ, that nothing shall prevent you and nothing shall cause you to turn aside. Can you say praise the Lord? There is no reason for unemployment in the kingdom of God. I'm not talking about the natural realm. I'm talking about in the spiritual realm. Amen. There ought not be any unemployment lines in the kingdom of God. Come on now. Hallelujah. If you're drawing spiritual unemployment, amen, it's time to get off the unemployment roll. Amen. You've been idling too long in the marketplace. Amen. Jesus said, don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? My Father's got a business to run. I said, my Father is a businessman. And His business, amen, is the saving of lost souls. He said, I did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. We've got work to do. It's time to roll up our sleeves and be about the Master's business. There's no place for unemployment in the kingdom of God. Amen. Unemployment of the kingdom of God ought to be about zero. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Wouldn't it be wonderful? I want you to know a church that has zero unemployment when it comes to the things of the Lord and the kingdom of God is a church that's going to be on fire. It's a church, amen, that's going to see souls being baptized, being filled with the Holy Ghost, growing in knowledge and in the grace of God, amen, when there's zero unemployment, because a church that's occupying, amen, the responsibilities that they were commissioned to carry out is a church that's hung up a sign and says, occupied, no vacancy. We don't have any room for discouragement. We don't have any room for backbiting. We don't have any room, amen, for tearing down the church. Amen. Because this is about the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Occupied. No vacancy. Somebody called up my mother one time on the phone. They began to, I don't remember where it was or when it was, but I remember the incident. They began to run down the church and run down the pastor. And she said, well, if that you called, amen, to criticize and to complain, amen, she said, you called the wrong person, amen. She said, because my job is to pray for the pastor and to pray for revival. I don't have any time, amen, for the devil and his tricks, amen. I'm occupied in the things of God and there's no vacancy. There's no room here for that. Hallelujah. We're filled up. We get filled up with the Holy Ghost. There won't be any room, amen, for backbiting. There won't be any room, amen, for discouragement. There won't be any room for faithlessness and non-commitment. Because when there's zero unemployment, everybody's happy. When there's zero unemployment, amen, everybody enjoys the blessings of God. Come on now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Luke 9:62, Jesus said, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, amen, once you start working, there's no time to quit. Hallelujah. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back. Amen. Have anybody ever done any plowing? Amen. It's hard work. What little bit of plowing I did, amen, it was exhausting. Amen. It will take it out of you. Amen. It'll shake things up. It'll rearrange the anatomy. Amen. Amen. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back, it's fit for the kingdom of God. Amen, because He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen, God did not draw us and bring us out of the world to leave us, amen, to our own fancy. But He drew us out, amen, and set us free that we might go and that we might be a witness, that we might be a light to the world and claim the promises of God. Can you say praise the Lord? And then he continued in verse 1 of the next chapter. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also. Amen. Isn't it something? Amen. When you find a good man, amen, that puts himself to work. Amen. How, amen, it seemed to stir up a desire to go out and get more. He went out, he had 12 good disciples. Amen, but he said, amen, it's time to go out and get some new recruits. Amen, I thank God, amen, for what God is doing in our church. What God is doing amongst His people. But it's time, amen, that we went out and we got 70 more. Amen, and got them involved in the work of God. It's amazing how much more can be done. Amen. If you've got more hands, amen, for the work. Amen. It takes more than just one or two. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, where one, two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst thereof. Hallelujah. But oh, it's so much more glorious. Amen. When it's a multitude. Amen. The Bible, we sometimes talk about, you know, why we ought not. Amen. Make excuses, and we ought not. Amen. God can save by many or by few, but we emphasize the few part. Amen. Just because God can get it done. Amen. With a Jonathan and his armor bearer. That was great. Amen. They struck down quite a number. Oh, but when they got the whole army involved. Amen. It wasn't just a few here and there. Amen. They had the whole Philistine army on the run because one man's faith inspired an entire regiment of soldiers to get involved in the work of God. Amen. We can if we will put ourselves to the task. He went out and he appointed 70 others also. We don't like it sometimes. Amen. When God begins to bring others in because we're afraid they might take our place. That's all right. They're taking my place. That means I'm going to get a promotion. Hallelujah. They take your place. Amen. That means God's getting you ready for promotion. Amen. You know what the promotion is in the kingdom of God? More work. Hallelujah. Amen. God, amen, begins to bring in more. That means more work for the pastor. That means more work for the Sunday school staff. That means more work for the prayer warriors. And more work, amen, for the youth leader. Amen, for the more that God brings in, the more responsibility that we have as the children of God. But that's all right. Amen, give me a promotion. Amen, let me allow God, amen, to do what God, amen, intended to do. The Lord appointed 70 others and sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Before the Lord went there, he prepared the way. And I want you to know whatever work God, amen, sends you to accomplish, he will not send you, amen, without first preparing the way. They prepared the way wherever he was about to go. Amen. First he sent disciples there. Amen. To prepare the heart to receive the word of God. Amen. We might be amazed how much greater results we'd get. Amen. If we did some plowing. Amen. Before we sowed seed. I don't know about you, but I always got better results after I'd plowed. Plowing's kind of hard work. Everybody say hard work. Amen. You know how you prepare the ground? Fasting. Prayer. Amen. Surrendering your will to God. Enduring hardship, and trials, and persecution. Amen. That's how we prepare our heart. Amen. To receive the things of God. And then when God begins to plant things in our life, amen, that they become productive and they bring forth abundantly as he would have it to do. We need to do some preparing. We need to do some plowing. We need to do some preparation. We need to prepare. If we're going to have revival, amen, let's prepare for revival. If you're going to pray for rain, walk around with an umbrella. If you're going to pray for revival, begin to make preparations, amen, for a great influx of souls, amen, or else that you're like the man that threw his net over the side of the boat, not expecting anything. And so his ship began to sink. Amen. Revivals can sink pretty quickly. Amen. If they're not prepared. Hallelujah. Amen. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Amen. I need laborers to go into the harvest field. Amen. If we are going, amen, to, amen, do what God has called us to do, we've got to learn to occupy. Because our occupation is to serve one another. To serve God. Amen. This man was delivered of an unclean spirit. I want you to know that God has delivered us from every spirit of uncleanness. Amen. The Bible says to cleanse yourself from every filthiness of the flesh and spirit. How many believe that today? We have been cleansed. The house has been swept. And in the fifth edition, King James, where it says garnished, it says, and the house was put in order. That's what to be garnished means. It was swept, and the house was put in order. When God came into your life, He had to put some things in order. Because God's not the author of confusion. God buys ugly houses. You see those signs on the freeway? We buy ugly houses. Amen. Well, God does. God buys ugly houses. And He beautifies them with holiness. Our house was tarnished. Our house needed swept. Our house needed sanitized. It needed put in order. But God bought our ugly house because He wanted to set it in order and beautify it with His holiness and His righteousness. Amen. God doesn't like ugly. God doesn't like disorder. God doesn't like, amen, things that need cleaning. But God wants us to be pure on the inside and on the outside. Can you say praise the Lord? Holiness is not an empty facade, but it's the habitation of the Spirit of God. True holiness expresses itself in holy living. True holiness is kind and generous and desirous of every good work. Amen. And a life without holiness is an open invitation to the devil and his mischief. Amen. He came and He found the house empty. We need to have our house filled with the presence of God. We need to be occupied about doing the things that God has commanded us to do. Because a life without holiness stands in isolation like a vacant home. If God's Spirit does not dwell there, the unclean spirits of worldliness and vanity and pride will move in, and the last state of that man will be worse than in the beginning. There is nothing more heartbreaking, heart-wrenching, than to see someone that once knew God turn to the sin of the world, and that person becomes 7 times worse than they were at the very beginning. Why? Because they would not allow their house to be occupied with the things of the kingdom. If you're preoccupied with the world today, then you're not occupied with the kingdom. You're either occupied with the things of God or you're preoccupied with the world. You're either full of the Holy Ghost or your house is empty. An empty invitation for the slight and cunning of the devil to come in. Oh God, help us to put up a sign, occupied, no vacancy. I'm so occupied, devil, I don't have time to be distracted. I'm occupied in the things of God. My focus is on Him. And I'm not worried about what's happening over here or who's falling over there. 10,000 may fall at your right hand. 1,000 may fall at your right hand and 10,000 at your left. But it will not come nigh you if you'll keep your focus on the Lord. Hallelujah. To be diligent. Even to give yourself to God. Oh, I'm glad God buys ugly houses because He redeemed me. Amen. He saved me. Amen. And He beautified me with the Spirit of holiness. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad that my house is full today because of the blessings of God. You can be full today, or you can allow your house to become empty, to be a void. Amen. To be a target of Satan and his evil devices. Would you stand today? Oh, I want to see revival. I want to see a moving of God. Amen. I want to see God have free reign and free expression. Are you occupied in the Lord's work today? Can I ask you, what is your occupation? Are you among the unemployed? Are you just a statistic today in the kingdom of God? Are you still drawing unemployment? Just siphoning off a blessing from this brother or this brother or this sister? You can't live on other people's blessings. Amen. For a very long time, until they no longer spill over anymore. You've got to have your own walk. You've got to have your own commitment. You've got to have your own, amen, service in the kingdom of God. Don't be an empty house. Let Him fill you today. Let Him bless you today. Occupy until He comes. Hallelujah. God bless you. Turn the service to our pastor.
My house is full.
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place, in one accord. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled, and it filled all the house wherein they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. God intends that we should be filled. God intends that we should be filled. God intends that we should stay full of the Holy Ghost. And the way we avoid the tragedy of emptiness is to stay full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're like the fellow in the prayer room that said, "Fill me, Lord." And the brother said, "Don't do it, Jesus. He leaks." Amen. That's the problem. Everybody here's got leaks. Amen. Everybody here leaks. You got to be filled. Amen. The Bible said the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Amen. But it's righteousness. Amen. And it's peace. And it's joy in the Holy Ghost. Is that what you'd like to be filled with today? Amen. He also said, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled." The word means to continually be filled. Constantly be filled. Stay under the spout where the glory comes out, and continually be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. Praise God. Why don't we just come today, amen, and just spend a little time basking in the presence of the Lord. If you've got a leak today, why don't you just open up the valve one more time. Kick off the top and say, let me be filled once again, Jesus. Amen. I've let a little self in, and that's not going to do. I've let some carnality creep in, and that's not going to work. I've let a little bit of worldliness in, and I've got to get that out. So, Lord, fill me to overflowing. Amen. So there's no room for anything but you. Hallelujah. Fill me with righteousness. Fill me with peace. Fill me with joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Oh, fill me to overflowing today, Jesus. Fill me to overflow. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I release everything else.
There is peace.
I release everything else. Amen. Hallelujah. Let everything that's not like you float to the top.
Today.
And be washed away. Hallelujah.
Lots of food on the table.
Oh, let nothing stay embedded in the bedrock of my soul.
And no one
is turned away. Be subject to the sweet spirit.
There is singing
and the sweeping of the Holy Ghost.
And laughter.
And I shall be free.
As the hours pass by.
Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Jesus.
Feels the same.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
As the Father.